Ruth and I are really pleased to be able to be here and worship with you today. I'm Bradley's younger brother, and much better looking than he is. But we are always pleased to be able to come back and worship here with you at Bryan First Brethren. We know so many of you, and I do miss your pastor and his wife. Always enjoy visiting with them, but I know that they're having a great time. I have a Facebook connection with them, and I'm glad to see that they're getting some rest and recreation and enjoying each other and enjoying their children. And it's always a pleasure for us to reacquaint ourselves with all of you, especially those of you that we have known for so many years. It's good to see that we got in the spirit of the day. There's probably no one alive that's not aware of the big game tonight. And so I asked Bradley if they had a particular theme that we might use for today, and he came up with the idea of get in the game. Tom Brady, after living a full life, died. When he got to heaven, God was showing him around. They came to a modest little house with a faded Patriots flag in the window. "This house is yours for eternity, Tom," said God. "This is very special. Not everyone gets a house up here." Tom felt special indeed, and he walked up to his house. On his way to enter the house, he noticed another house just around the corner. It was a three-story mansion with an orange and navy sidewalk, a 50-foot-tall flagpole with an enormous Bronco logo flying gloriously from the top of the flagpole. And in every window, there was a Bronco emblem. Tom looked at God and said, "God, I'm not trying to be ungrateful, but I have a question. I was an all-pro quarterback. I won 4 Super Bowl rings. I was even inducted into the Hall of Fame." God said, "So what's your point, Tom?" "Well," said Tom, "why does Peyton Manning get a better house than I do?" God chuckled and said, "Tom, that's not Peyton's house, that's mine." This evening, the world will watch the Denver Broncos beat the Carolina Panthers. I guess I shouldn't have made a prediction like that. How many Panther fans do we have here this morning? Raise your hand, Panther fans. That's great. How many Bronco fans do we have here? That's wonderful. That's wonderful. How many Jesus fans do we have here at Bryan First Brethren this morning? Raise amen. Give Jesus a hand clap. And that's super. In a few hours, the kickoff to a game of great importance will be played. Large men will face off across a scrimmage line. A call will be made. Leather will slap and bodies will collide and clash. A battle has begun. For 4 15-minute quarters, men will expend enormous energy and Herculean efforts to move a piece of pig iron up and down a field of grass. In the end, one team will emerge victorious. Much is riding on this game. Around the world, tens of millions will be watching. Today, fortunes will be made and lost. Tonight, Americans will be glued to their television sets, all wanting the answer to one question: who will win? Now, one way to answer such a question is to ask, what does it take to become a Super Bowl champion? Let me tell you who will win. The winner of tonight's game will be the team that exhibits 5 specific traits. The team that has the greatest desire. The team that is the most disciplined. The team that has the most commitment and focus. The team that is willing to sacrifice all. The team that possesses the greatest character. The team, that team, whoever it may be, will win the Super Bowl. In football, many people play the game, but there are only a few that rise to the status of Super Bowl champions. Listen, to win the game, you have to get in the game. Do you know where the rest of the NFL and the AFL will be tonight? That's right, at home, watching the game. What separates a Super Bowl championship team from the team with the very worst record? It is desire, discipline, commitment and focus, sacrifice, character applied day in and day out. Vince Lombardi, former coach of the Green Bay Packers and the winning coach of Super Bowl I, stated in a speech called What It Takes to Be Number One. I quote, "Winning is not a sometime thing, it's an all-time thing. You don't win once in a while, you don't do things right once in a while, you do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. Every time a football player goes to play his trade, he's going to play from the ground, from the soles of his feet right up to the top of his head. Every inch of him has to be in play." Now listen carefully. I want you to know that another game is being played today. But unlike the Super Bowl, your game is continuous, and it has eternal consequences. Yet, like the NFL, only a few who call themselves Christ followers will rise to the level of play exhibited as a Super Bowl champion. So the question for you this morning is this: what does it take to be a Super Bowl Christ follower? What separates a champion for Christ from just a Bush leaguer? The five traits that define a Super Bowl team are the same traits that define a Super Bowl Christ follower. Desire, discipline, commitment, sacrifice, and character. And we find these traits in two passages of Scripture. The first is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. It says, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win the prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." And then in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12, "I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus has possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling me." Now, the first trait of a Super Bowl Christ follower is desire. Desire. Paul writes, "Don't you realize in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win." For those of you who like to take notes, I'm OCD. If I don't take notes, I fall asleep. So for those of you who like to take notes, underline that phrase: run to win. Desire is to want something. Great desire is to want something so bad that you can literally taste it. For the Super Bowl Christ follower, there's no greater desire than to be in a close, dynamic relationship with their Savior. The great Bible teacher J. Vernon McGee said, "The highest desire that can possess any heart is longing to see God. Such a desire for God should compel and propel every Christ follower to get in the game, to use Paul's image, to run to win, to run with all that we have. Unfortunately, instead of going for the gold, we too often settle for silver or bronze, or maybe just to finish the race. In fact, I'm convinced that most believers never venture too far from the starting line. Instead of straining and pressing on, we get comfortable on the sidelines. What does it take? What does it take to be a pro athlete? It begins with a burning desire to compete, to win. Vince Lombardi again said, the difference between a successful person and another is not a lack of strength, not a lack of knowledge, but rather a lack of will. Paul had such a desire. He was the Bart Starr, the Vince Lombardi of early Christianity. And he desires that you and I do the same. Let's get in the game. May this be your soul's desire, to love God and to serve Him with all of your being. Yet, desire alone is not sufficient. Desire only takes shape when it is accompanied by discipline. A lot of us desire to lose weight, but without discipline, it won't happen. I may have the wanna, but if I don't have the gotta, I'm never going to have the getta. So the second trait of a Super Bowl Christ follower is discipline. Say discipline. Discipline. Kind of a hard word to say, isn't it? Nobody likes discipline. Discipline is the fuel of success. You may be the prettiest car in the showroom, but without gas, you're going nowhere. You'll be forever doomed as a spiritual weakling, easy prey of Satan and his team of minions. Worse, you may be so weak that he decides that you're just not even worth the effort. To attempt to live the Christ-like life without spiritual discipline would be like Don Knotts climbing to the boxing ring with Mike Tyson. Somebody's going to get hurt real bad. Listen again to how Paul describes this trait. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline, there's that word again. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to be what it should be. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Paul tells us that a competitor goes into strict training, like a bodybuilder who adds more weight and extra reps in order to increase his muscle mass. Paul felt the burn of his spiritual pursuit, and he pushed past it. Paul felt the need, the desire to be all that he could for God. Why? Because he needed the spiritual muscle and the spiritual skill in order to effortlessly pursue his greatest desire. Now, here's the lesson Paul is making with this sports analogy. Maturity in Christ doesn't just happen. It takes hard work. In another Bible book written by Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he writes these words, "Train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is what? Much better." Some of you are awake. Say much better.
Much better.
"Promising benefits in this life and in the life to come." Listen. As there are no shortcuts to peak physical condition, there are no shortcuts to peak spiritual growth. Unfortunately, too many Christ followers, too many Christians run aimlessly. They will never win the prize because they refuse to train. It seems to me that the word discipline has become a dirty word in our culture. If it isn't easy, if it's not fun, if it's not microwavable in just a few seconds, we don't want it. Yet discipline, listen, discipline is essential. Look the person next to you and say, discipline is essential. Discipline is essential to success. Tom Landry, former coach of the Dallas Cowboys, said, the job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be. I like that. You see, most of us want to win. We just don't want to suffer. Here's the bottom line. We will not experience Christ's likeness without some effort on our part. Though it is wrong for us to think that we can achieve Christ's likeness on our own strength, on our own goodness, it is also wrong for us to neglect a disciplined approach to Christ's likeness. After all, discipline simply means disciplined learner. Discipline puts feet into a Christ follower's desire to get in the game. Say that with me. Get in the game. Yet to perform at the highest level, a Christ follower has to be focused and committed. The third trait of a Super Bowl Christ follower is commitment. Commitment. Commitment will determine whether or not you view Christianity as a recreational sport or a serious pro competition. Look again at what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3. He says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on. Circle that word, press on. I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on. There it is again. Underline press on. To reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul said that he pressed toward the goal. He was focused and committed to completing his own Super Bowl lifestyle. He didn't quit halfway up the hill. He not only got in the game, he kept the end game in focus. Vince Lombardi was right on target when he said, the quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their chosen field of endeavor. Now listen carefully. Commitment makes the difference between a Christian Bundesliga and a Super Bowl Christ follower. This step, commitment, is crucial. With laser point focus and commitment, we fracture into too many areas. We become double-minded. The book of James tells us that a double-minded individual is unstable in whatever they do. I want you to see with me three clear calls to commitment that every Christ follower has to face. Here's the first. Commitment to personal growth. Every serious Christ follower must be committed to personal growth. We are called to commit ourselves as disciples. A disciple is a learner. Remember, we just learned that a second ago. We should never reach a point in life at which we are no longer learners. We never reach a point in life in which we can say that we have arrived. Even Paul said this about himself. I want you to read this with me. And where it says your name, I want you to put your name there and see if this passage of Scripture just doesn't come alive to you. Are you ready to read with me? Remember, when we get to the part where you're going to put your name in there. I, George McCarty, don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling me. Every day this week, make it a commitment, at least once a day, to read that passage of Scripture and put your name there. Listen, make a commitment to personally continue to grow spiritually. Take positive steps to do so. Start a Bible reading plan. Set aside a time each day to pray. Read good Christian literature. Watch some good Christian programming. Join a small group. Never give up learning. Commitment to personal growth. Second, commitment to the local body. Commitment to the local body. The author Jerry Bridges comments in an article on commitment. He says this. Listen carefully. He says, as I have watched the parade of people through our church and other churches, I wonder why so few commit themselves to a local body of believers in a significant way. Many sit and soak and do little else, and they flee at the first sign of trouble or pressure. They fail to become involved or to give. The priority for corporate worship falls far down the list. They criticize all that is wrong with a specific local congregation. What can we do besides comment or complain? We need to accept the challenge to commit ourselves to responsible membership. Listen, the local body is the first level of commitment outside of our personal relationship with the Lord. The local church, with all of its imperfection, is still the Lord's major avenue through which he accomplishes his work. The church gathers for worship, for teaching, and fellowship to gain power to carry out the ministry as each member is scattered to their various places of influence in their neighborhoods and community. The person who is forsaking the assembling together forfeits the power of corporate identity. But some people do not see worship attendance as a necessity. They see recreation as a necessity. They see yard work as a necessity. They see entertainment as a necessity. They see viewing sporting events like the Super Bowl as a necessity. But worship attendance and participation, well, it ranks right with visiting grandpa's grave, calling on your college roommate, or viewing the new wing in the nursing home. You have every intention of doing it, unless, of course, something more important comes up. In far too many lives, worship attendance seems to be regulated by many Christians to last place. Now listen carefully. Commitment to church is deeper than just attendance to the worship service, but it does begin there. That's the first line of offense. Get in the game. Say it with me. Get in the game. Be involved. Commitment to personal growth. Commitment to the local church. And then commitment to ministry. Commitment to ministry. Commitment to a local church means deciding on a church home and moving in and staying. Commitment to the local church also means actively using your talents and gifts to serve the various ministries of the church. We need to be a part of what the church is doing. Listen, we need to be a part of what the church is doing, not just spectators. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7 says this. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. Now listen to this. A spiritual gift is given to you and given to me. Why? So we can help each other. Turn to the person next to you and say, I want to help you. I don't think you said it with complete confidence and sincerity. Look to the person next to you and say, I want to help you. Now you're getting into it just a little bit. You're almost in the game. Listen, we must commit ourselves. We must commit ourselves to the local church that begins when we commit ourselves to one another. And we must use our talents and our spiritual gifts that God has given us. Listen, get in the game. Well, we have desire. We have discipline and commitment. The next trait to becoming a Super Bowl Christ follower is a natural outgrowth of the first three. And you're going to like this word. It's sacrifice. Say sacrifice. Oh, that comes out so bitter. You see, the key to success in any venture is a willingness to sacrifice. Philippians chapter 3. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Underline that phrase, focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I do what? I press on. Underline, circle, press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling me. This is from the book of Hebrews. Listen to it. Chapter 12, verse 1. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with what?
Endurance.
The race that God has set before us. The sacrifice. To sacrifice is to give up something for a specific purpose. To sacrifice means that we're willing to pay the price. Again, from the Bible of Vince Lombardi. Seems like I've quoted him a lot today. He says this. Success is like anything worthwhile. It has a price. You have to pay the price to win. You have to pay the price to get to the point where success is possible. Most important, you must pay the price to stay there. Football is a great deal like life in that it teaches that work, sacrifice, perseverance, competitive drive, selflessness, and respect for authority is the price that each and every one of us must pay to achieve any goal that is worthwhile. Listen. If you are to get in the game, there are things that you will give up, and there are things that you will take up. You'll give up pet sins, and you'll take up burdensome crosses. You'll give up freedoms, and you'll take up submission. In doing so, your time, and your thinking, and your actions will be radically changed. Now, the beauty of sacrifice and the burden of sacrifice is that it's not just a one-time event. Now, you were really glad to hear that, weren't you? The Super Bowl Christ follower, like the Super Bowl athlete, continues to train, continues to sacrifice. We need the sacrifice of doctrine to be reintroduced into the life of the church and into the life of believers. There is no off-season. The Apostle Paul did not rest on his laurels, not even when he was aged. He continued to press on. He knew that the goal line lay ahead. He knew it was just a few yards away. I'm at the point where I understand that. I know that I have far fewer years ahead of me than what I have behind me. But I don't want to finish halfway up the hill. Like the Apostle Paul, I want to press on till I get to the very summit. And there I can look face to face in the eyes of my God and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Are you ready? Are you prepared to get in the game? Now the final trait is an element that ties the previous four together and gives them shape. The fifth trait of a Super Bowl Christ follower is character. Character. Charles Reed, English novelist and dramatist, wrote, "Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny." Without exception. Without exception. Every successful Super Bowl team has a game plan that integrates all the elements of their training into a winning strategy. And for the Super Bowl Christ follower, character is the element that integrates desire and discipline and commitment and sacrifice together. Character can be defined simply this way: as a Christ follower, looking more and more like the Savior, looking more and more like Jesus every day. That's why the Apostle Paul trained so hard. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he writes, "I want you to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him." When was the last time that you prayed that you could share in the suffering of Christ? Paul acknowledged. He said, "I'm not there yet." But he was moving in that direction. Each day he was able to draw closer to Christ because he had the desire. He was disciplined. He was committed and focused. He was willing to sacrifice. And he was developing that godly character. Look again at Philippians 3:14. He says, "I press on." Read this with me. "I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which Christ Jesus is calling me." Paul lost his life to a Roman sword. With the drawing of his last breath, he crossed the goal line of glory. The time clock sounded, and he had won the prize. Paul was a super bold Christ follower. And waiting for him on the other side was the crown of life, a prize greater than any Super Bowl ring. For that crown, the crown of life, would last for eternity. Are you in the game? Can you say with Paul, "I press on to reach the end of the race, to receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling me"? In just a few hours, the kickoff to a game of great importance will be played. Large men will face off across a line of scrimmage. A call will be made. Leather will slap and bodies will collide and crash. A battle has begun. For four 15-minute quarters, men will expend enormous energy and Herculean efforts to move a piece of pigskin up and down a field of grass. And in the end, one team will emerge victorious. A trophy will be rewarded. Rings will be presented. Cash will be given. Glory will be bestowed. Advertising contracts will be awarded. And one team will have the bragging rights for 1 year. Yet today, a greater game of importance is being played, and you, and you, and you are the key player on the field. You have the opportunity to play, not for earthly rewards that will last just a short time, but for eternal rewards. And you can win a prize that will never dim. Friends, the outcome. Listen, the outcome is up to you. Or will you choose to become a Super Bowl Christ follower? Do you have the desire? Are you willing to discipline yourself? Are you focused and committed? Are you willing to make the sacrifices? Do you have the character? Let's get in the game.